Here we start here at the bottom of Lamed Chet Amud Bet. The Gemara asks of Kuvashin, should Darkana take the Tochan Yayin? Now you can't use their picklings or their fruits or vegetables that are pickled when they have, in general, they place wine into those items. So Amr Chizki, Lo Shana Lo Shad Darkan, that our Mishnah, which says that there is an issue here, is only in a case where it's the Derech. It's normally assumed that they will put wine in there. Since we assume they will put wine in there, therefore you cannot consume them, you may not eat them, but you can't get Hana. Aval biyadua asura filu b'ana. But if you know for certain that they did put wine in there, not only is it restricted in achila, it's also asur b'ana. You might want to know, maishnam memorials. Why is this different than the fish brine? Do shorah banan b'hana? That over there, the rabbanan say it's mutar b'ana. It's only asur b'achila, but it's mutar b'ana. Over there, we're worried about the same thing. We're worried about the yayin. We're worried about the wine that is placed inside of the morios. So when it says, hatum lavure zuma, when it comes to the case of the morios, the addition of the wine is not to enhance the taste or the flavor of the fish brine, but rather to get rid of the zuama, to get rid of the waste or the unpleasant odor or the unwanted parts of the fish brine. As Rashi says, avi kemanda ozel liibud. It's as if it's been used to get rid of it. I mean, the assumption is that the wine will disappear. The wine is just an offsetting agent. It's not a part of the flavor of the morios. On the other hand, when it comes to the kvashim, when it comes to the pickling process, they're hachalim tuke tamam. They're to enhance the flavor. So when the wine's to enhance the flavor, over there we say, not as an asur b'achila, it's also asur b'hana. On the other hand, by the morios, where it's not there to enhance the flavor, right, to offset another problem, to offset the zuama, over there we say that the wine causes it to be asur b'achila, but not asur b'hana. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afil bi'adua nami mutar. Yochanan says, even we're certain there's wine in these pickling Judases, there we say it's asur b'achila, but not, it's still mutar b'ana. Umayishna memorials the Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, by morios, we say that it's asur b'ana. So why does by Rabbi Meir say by morios it's asur b'ana? Because the wine is added. Over here, by the case of kivashim, by the case of the pickling, if we know the wine's in there, it's only asur b'achila, and we don't see Rabbi Meir arguing on that. So Gemara says, atam yediya mamasho. Over there, by the case of the morios, the wine is real and in existence, meaning that it's going to actually affect the flavor of the item. When you dip into the fish brine, it was used as some sort of dip. When you dip into the fish brine, you're going to also take wine with it. And you're going to eat the wine, you're going to eat that ben. On the other hand, by the kvashim, by the pickling, achalo yediya mamashan. When you take the vegetables, the fruits, out of the pickling agent, that's the pickling juices are no longer there. They stay in the can, they stay in the bottle, and therefore the wine is left behind, and whatever is imparted to the fruit or the vegetable is just the pickling side of it. So therefore we say that the wine doesn't necessarily mamash, it's not really actually there. Since it's not actually there, we can say that it's asur b'achila, but mutar b'hana'ah. Now the Gemara goes on to the next piece of our mission, which is Tari Trufa, Vetzir Shein Badagim, Dagach, and then the last thing is Chilik. So Gemara wants to know, what is this, my Chilik? So Rashi in the Mishnah explained to us that Chilik were small fish that are Tahor, but they also have in their species or similar type of fish that are found that are Tamei. Aram Nachem Ba'ab Amarav, Zu Sultanit. That Chilik, what is it? It's a species called Sultanit, which is some sort of species of anchovies. Mipnei ma asura. Why is it asur? Mipnei shirvuna olea ima. So what's the problem? It comes up. Other items come up with it. Meaning that other similar types of fish or non-kosher fish come up with it. So our problem or our issue is that the non-kosher fish that look very similar to it, that are captured in the nets at the same time that they capture this chilik, therefore we worry about the fact that there are non-kosher fish mixed in. And since this is a type of fish, and Rashi notes on the Mishnah that in the future will grow fins and scales, when we pull it out of the water, we don't know whether the fish that we have here is the one that's going to in the future have fins and scales, or is this a fish tamei that will never grow fins and scales? So since we can't distinguish between them, we just say asur. We say don't eat it because we're not certain of the fact that you have the kosher fish over here. So Tana Rabbanan, ein lo achshav, va'atayid gadel acher zman. Someone, a fish that does not currently have fins and scales, but will grow fins and scales in the future, kagon, that's an example of that. That's our fish that we just mentioned before, the sultanit, ve'afit, which I have as a sardine. Harizeh mutar, those are mutar. So even though they do not currently have fins and scales, but since in the future they will grow fins and scales, that's enough. Same thing, yeshlov achshav, if he has fins and scales now, batid lashir, and he will drop them and lose them, b'shash olam min hayam, when they pull them out of the water. Kagon, examples of that are akonis, which there's a kolios, aponos, which I have as a scamber, kitas paitius, which looks sounds like a swordfish, v'achtaf staftius, which is antius, v'atunas, which is tunny. So all of those are mutar. Here's examples of fish that lose their fins and scales when they're removed from the water. Nevertheless, they're considered kasher. The Ri has a little drasha here. He says that it says, snapir v'kaskeset einlo. So it doesn't have einlo. It says, ayinlo, ayinalav. Look into it to see if it really has fins and scales. A similar drasha that we have by Yibum when it says, uvein einlo, that he doesn't have a child. What does it mean he doesn't have a child? Ayinalav. Check if he has a grandchild. Check if he has an ezera. So the Gemara darshan is over there that when it says uvenin lo, means go look carefully into the situation to see if there's any offspring. So it's over here when it says ein lo snapir v'kaskeset, it also means go check. Did it really not have fins and scales? So that means if it had fins and scales originally, or later on it will have fins and scales, either one of those makes it kasher. And that again is the problem with the chilik before, which is that we saw it was sultanit. Sultanit only grows its fins and scales at a later date. Since it grows the fins and scales at a later date, at the time that we capture when it's young, and it's very similar to a dag tameh, similar to other fish that look like it, that will not grow fins and scales later on. We can't distinguish, we can't determine between them, and therefore you may not eat chilik when it comes up out of the water, or a group of chilik when it comes out of the water, until we're certain that it has the fins and scales. Achis Rabbi Abahu b'Kezari, Abahu announced in Kezari, Kirvei Dagim, Huvram, the innards of the fish, and their eggs, Yikachim Mikol Adam, can be bought from anybody here, as Katam Enibayim Ele Pibusa Vaspamia. They only come from these two places called Pelusa and Vaspamia, possibly Spain, Kia Adam Rabai, Hai Tzachanto Dabav Naro, similar to what Abai said about this Tzachanto, this Chilik of the river Devav, Sharia is Mutar. So now we have two statements by the Amoraim that these fish are kosher. Now, or the innards of the fish and the Beitzim are kosher. The first statement is Rabbi Abahu, and he says that these fish that are sold in this area and all the eggs, the Kirvei Dagim and the eggs, all come from certain Pelusa and Asfamia. Since they come to these two locations, and as Rashi points out, there are no Dagim Tmeim in those areas. So therefore, whatever is sold here has got to be kosher fish. Then we have a similar thing by Abai who states that the chilik of this river is always mutar, because there must be, it's the only fish, the only kosher fish there. The Gemara wants to know why. Why is it the only fish there? My time, huh? Because the current is very strong. Since a dung tamay lacks some sort of frame or spine, it can't live, can't succeed, can't thrive in a place where the current is very strong. We see, literally, we can look in and we see the fact that they do survive in those places. So that can't be the reason. El Mishom de Meluche Maya, that the water is salty. I dug to make, even to Lake Galpe, since it doesn't have scales, but Duchta de Meluche Maya lo Matsikai cannot thrive in a place where there is salt water. Like Mar says, Vachazina de Kai, you see that they do exist there. El Mishom de lo Marbetina dug to make. Rather, because this, the Tino here sounds like the sediment, but I don't know if they're talking about spontaneous generation, or they just mean that this area, this locale, is not friendly or supportive of those types of fish. So the dag tamei won't grow here. So in that case, the chilik that comes up in this river, one may consume it and not worry about the fact that you're also bringing up non-kosher fish, because this river does not support non-kosher fish. Amar Ravina, Hayidna, today, today that into the river Devav also flows in the Nargamdo Asire. Now it's a surah because those two rivers do support non-kosher fish, and since they pour into the Devav Nara, they pour into the river of Devav, they will add now the possibility that there are non-kosher fish in Devav. Amar Abaye, Hai Chamro Duyamo. So this comes from a principle that Chazal have, that anything that is on land has a similar type of item in the sea or in the ocean. So Abaye says, this Chamro Duyamo, the chamur, the donkey of the sea, or the sea ass, or maybe a hake, shori, is mutar. Torah diyama, on the other hand, the ox of the sea, which is a species of a ray, asir, those are asur, besimanech. The way to remember that is, tamei, tahor. The donkey, which is tamei on land, tahor, is mutar in the sea. Tahor, the ox that is tahor on land, tamei is problematic in the sea. Now this siman is only for these specific items. It's not a general siman about land versus sea. Aravashi, shafar nuna, and if this marked as a hammerfish, shari is mutar. Kodesh nuna, on the other hand, the antheus, asir is asur. V'simanech, kodesh lashem. Kodesh lashem is something that's restricted. Stam kodesh is not allowed to be used or utilized by an individual. Therefore, the kodesh nuna is asur. On the other hand, there was an alternative girsa. The Rabbeinu Chananel has an alternative girsa, which he flips it around. And he says that the Nuna is Asur, that the Shofar Nuna is Asur, and the other one, the Kodesh Nuna, is Mutar. And his Simanech is Kodesh Yisrael Lashem. Kodesh Yisrael Lashem, that is Bnei Yisrael Kodesh Lashem, that means that it's Mutar. That is Heitir Le'amo. That's Mutar for Bnei Yisrael. And that's the Siman that we have over here. And last thing we have is Ikidamre, Kavar Nuna. Kavar Nuna is marked as a mudfish, a sewer. The Simanech, Kivre Ovde Kochavim. And the Siman is like the graves of Ovde Kochavim. So that's why it's Kever, it's no good. On the other hand, the Girsa of the Rach is Ikidamre, Kavar Nuna Shori. That the mudfish is Mutar. And the Simanech is Kivre Ovde Kochavim because we know that the Kivre Ovde Kochavim are not Metame Ba'oel. Only a Jew's kever is metame ba'oel, not a non-Jew's kever. Rabbi Akiva ikla the Ginzak. Rabbi Akiva went to visit Ginzak. So if you remember, that was the story we had back earlier on Lamed Dalet, about Rabbi Akiva going to Ginzak, and he had these three questions they asked him that he didn't know. Rashi in Tanit changes the girsa to Mar Ukva. Tosfos over here in Avodah Zarah objects to that and says we find that the stories of Rabbi Akiva are in many places. And one of them he notes is right here. You have Rabbi Akiva going to Ginzak. So it is very possible that the story was about Rabbi Akiva back then and that you shouldn't change the girsa to Mar Ukva. So I to the Kamehaye Nuna, they brought a fish before him. Davadame lechipusha. It was very similar to a mudfish. Chafya bedikuda. He covered it over with a basket. Chazabe kalfe visharia. Covered over with a basket, and when the fish was flopping around, it released or rubbed off some of its scales onto the basket. And when they picked the basket up and turned over, they could see that the scales were on the basket. The Tam Rav Ashi Ikla, the Tam Doria, went to a place called Tam Doria. Aitu the Kamehel Nuna, they brought him some fish. They have a dummy litzlofcha that looks similar to an eel. Nakte the Hadayoma, he held it up against the sun. And he saw that it had scales on it. Visharya, and it was matirit. Vash iklo the Hau Atro, he went to a city. Aitu the Kamehel Nuna, they brought for him a fish. Davi dummy litzlofcha Nuna. It was very similar to the Shapar Nuna. Chafya b'mashchichlei chiyurei. He covered it over with white basins. And then the fish flopped around and rubbed off on the basin. Chazabei kalfi. And he saw that the scales were on the basin. Bisharya. And it was matur. Rabba b'barchan iklo l'akro d'agma. He went to the fort of the marsh, or of the agma, maybe is the name of the place. Karivulei tzachanto. And they brought before him this tzachanta, which we said before, was chilek. Shamei lahau gavro davi korilei bate. He heard some person calling this dish that they brought for him a roach. Amar the korilei bate, since he's calling it this roach, shmamino dover tamei itbe. There must be something tamei in it, because bate is a negative term or something that is tamei. Therefore, since they were using that name for it, there must be something tamei. Loach omine. He didn't eat from it. It's Afra Ayimba. In the morning, when it was light out, he looked into it. At night, it was dark. He wasn't able to discern what the dish was. Ashkach Vei Dabar Tamei. And then he saw that he was right, that there were non-kosher items inside of it. The non-kosher fish, the non-kosher items inside. Karein Afshei says about himself, Lo Yuneh, let's Tzadik Kol Oven. Nothing bad will happen to the Tzadik. I mean, that since he heard about it, Hashem protected him, and he was not, did not consume something that was not kosher. About Koreit Shel Chiltit. Now the Koreit Shel Chiltit, this type of fruit, is problematic, the Mishnah mentions. I've been marked as a Asofotida. Asofotida, as of this type of fruit here. My time, what's the problem here? Vishom, the Mifsikalei Basakina, they cut it with a knife. Even though in general we believe that when it's notin tam nifkam, it's mutar. So here when he cuts the knife, it's also notin tam nifkam. Because it's tam kelim of a non-Jew, or enam b'nei yoman. So therefore it's notin tam nifkam. So when he cuts it with the knife, what's the problem? So agav chorfei dechiltita, because of the pungency or the sharpness of the fruit, it absorbs the fat from the knife. And it's as if it's not in tam, the shevach, and it's a sur, because it's able to garner or to bring about the fats that are on the knife or that are absorbed into the knife and exchange it or make it to have a better flavor. And this is true. We have this in Trey First Tarfos today, Basa Bachalov, these types of items when a utensil that is used with something that has harifut to it, has sharpness to it, the sharpness changes the status of the item from enu b'nei yoman to b'nei yoman, and therefore it absorbs from the item, even if the item is clear, even when it's not hot. When the item's not hot, normally we require some sort of heat in the item to absorb the flavor. Over here, remember, it's cold. Because of the sharpness, it absorbs the flavor. So these are two principles. And number one, it changes the note in tam lefkam to the note in tam leshevach. And number two is that even with cold items, it absorbs flavor. So that's the items or anything that has a pungency or chorfei to it. That is true. The Tosus over here asks that generally when we have that principle, you only have to remove a kedei klipa. You have to remove a kedei klipa from the item. So you don't have to remove a kedei klipa. Why don't we say the same thing by the fruit? Remove a kedei klipa and that'll be enough. So Tosus over here wants to distinguish between this chiltit, which he has, says is very pungent and very strong, and therefore it spreads, it absorbs the flavor and spreads throughout the fruit, and that's problematic. Whereas normal items that are chorfei or as sharp, they aren't as sharp as this, and they only absorb the kedei klipa. Tosus makes such a distinction between this chiltit, why it's asur, and why other items when we deal with that are sharp, you know, he said it's sufficient with a kedei klipa. The other answer Tosus gives is that there are those that say that based on this, it's not enough to have a kedei klipa. You see that it affects the whole fruit and vegetables, and then even by onions and leeks of a non-Jew, you'd have the same problem, and it would be, you know, throughout, it would mix throughout the entire vegetable or fruit. So we actually are choshesh for both shitot halacha, and it will depend upon how big the fruit or vegetable is. If the item has, would be batel berov, you know, there's 60 times the flavor that is being absorbed into the fruit or vegetable that is sharp, then we say it only absorbs kedei klipa. Enough of kedei klipa, because if it was, we said it has more than 60 times, it would be batel berov, and the flavor wouldn't matter. So therefore, we're choshish for the shita that it's only kedei klipa, and we say you have to take off a kedei klipa. On the other hand, if it's less than 60 times, we say that the flavor spreads throughout the fruit or vegetable, and therefore makes the whole thing asur, and kedei klipa is not enough. So we're actually choshish the shteya shita to the chumra that Tosos brings down. Avdei the Rabbi Levi, have become mezavin chiltita, he used to sell this fruit of chiltita. Kinach nafshei the Rabbi Levi, after Rabbi Levi passed away, atu lekamei the Rabbi Yochanan, Amalei, I said to him, ma'uliz ben menei, can we continue to buy from the servant of Rabbi Levi? While Rabbi Levi was alive, we were sure he was selling kosher stuff. The chiltu was fine. Now that Rabbi Levi passed away, can we still, does he still have that nemanut of selling it? So Amalei, avdo shel chaver, yu kechaver. An eved of a chaver has the status of a chaver, and he, since he's a full-fledged chaver, you can buy from him. So Rav Huna purchased tchelet from Anche Beite, both the Rach and Rashi say Anche Beite means from the wife of Rav Amram Chasido, out of the Kamer of Yosef. He went to Rav Yosef to find out it was okay that he was purchasing it from the wife of Rav Amram, the Shia of Nemanus, like a Chaver. Now, Tchilta, Tchelet, in their day, they had a problem with this Kale Ilan, which was some fake dye, and people sold it because Tchelet was so expensive. They had this fake dye that looked like Tchelet. They used to sell it as a replacement. And so you have to buy Tchelet from somebody who's Neman. So he came to Rav Yosef and asked him, what's the din? He didn't know the din. Paga bei Chanan Chaito. Chanan, the weaver, he bumped into him. Amar lo Yosef, anyo minolei. Yosef, the poor one, how is he going to know anything? But I have a case. I have case law like this, meaning that I had a situation similar to you. And that's why I know the halach over here. Tzvinei tchilta mi'anche beti d'Ravano, achua d'Rabchia b'Ava. I purchased chelet from the wife of Ravano, who was the brother of Rabchia b'Ava. V'atai l'kamei d'Rab Matno, and I went before Rab Matno, v'lo Rab Yehuda, they didn't know what to tell me. Atai l'kamei d'Rab Yehuda mi'hagunaya. I took it before Rab Yehuda mi'hagunaya, v'lo amar li, nafal to the yad. Now you fell into my hands, meaning that now you need me. I have a Mesor from Shmuel, Eshet Chaver, Ayu Kechaver, or Hechi Chaver. And Eshet, the wife of a Chaver, has a status like the Chaver. So over here we have two statements, which now the Gemara is going to bring down a Braita, the Tanur Bana, and Eshet Chaver, Ayu Kechaver, Avdoshe Chaver, Ayu Chaver. When it comes to the Eved and the wife of a Chaver, they have the same status as the Chaver, and they have Nemanut. We say that Nemanut persists even after the death of the Chaver himself. A chaver shemate, a chaver that passed away, ishtov vanav, uvnei v'yatorah, en b'chazkatan, ayyad shiach shtidu. So they were, the chaver, after he passes away, his family and his wife, they all have the same status as they did before being chaverim, until there are some aspersions cast on their nemanut. They have a chazaka that they continue to be chaverim. B'chein chatsa shemoshim machrim ba tchelet, a certain area location when they sell tchelet, harihi b'chazkata, remains in tchelet, shivtipasel, and then we have questions or a reason to believe that there's a problem over here. Tana banan. Eshet Amaretz, Shinisei L'Chaver. You have a wife of an Amaretz who then goes and marries a Chaver. V'chein Bito Shel Amaretz, a daughter of an Amaretz, Shinisei L'Chaver, that marries a Chaver. V'chein Avdo Shel Amaretz, that was purchased, Shinimcha L'Chaver, that was purchased by a Chaver. Kulan Tzirichim L'Kabel Divrei Chaverut. Each one of them here has to accept, make a positive acceptance of the Chaverut in order to be a Chaver. Aval, the other way around, Eshet Chaver, Shinisei L'Amaretz, Eshet Chaver that later marries an Amaretz, B'chein Bito Shel Chaver, Shinisei L'Amaretz, B'chein Avdo Shel Chaver, Shinimcha L'Amaretz, Einan Tzirichim L'Kabel, Divrei Chaverut L'Chadchilo. They do not have to re-accept the Chaverut, we assume that they are Chaverim, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Avein Tzirichim L'Kabel, Divrei Chaverut L'Chadchilo. L'Chadchilo, we want them to accept Chaverut. So as Rashi says over here, Tzrichim lekabel divrei chaverut is mitchila. Kol mishu nemanim lechol divrei chaverut sheochlenu betara shuperot kol tzimhen, that they are nemanut that they had beforehand now needs to be reaffirmed again because they are now married to an ama aretz. V'chein ayer Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer ma'ase bishachat shniseid lechaver, she was married to a chaver. V'aita kosheret lo tefillin ayado, she used to help him put on his tefillin in the morning. He said the Mokhes, then afterwards she married a tax collector. Tax collector Stam Gazlan. She used to wrap the receipts for the taxes on his arm. So you see that she went with the flow. The wife goes with the flow. And therefore an Eshet Chaver then marries an Eshet Amaretz afterwards, we're assuming she's going to go with the flow. And unless she explicitly accepts on herself the Divrei Chaverut, we're going to assume now that she has the status of her husband, of an Amaretz, and she loses the Nemanut she had that while she was married to the Chaver. Right, Amarav. Chavit Asur B'chotem Echad. These four items, you cannot use a single seal in order to send them. On the other hand, Champag Mutar B'chotem Echad. You can use one seal. What are these items? So the chavit is chalav, milk, basar, meat, yayin, wine, and tchelet. All these items require a double seal in order to be sent. Rashi claims the reason that they need a double seal over here is because they're expensive items. For instance, the basar and the tchelet are very expensive items, and therefore we worry about the fact that it's worth his while to go ahead and mizayif, to forge these seals. It's a single seal. It's worth its while because of how expensive they are. So he can swap out the meat, to swap out the tchilit. It's worthwhile to him to do that. So therefore, they require a double seal. And by the yayin, by the wine, we worry about the fact that it'll be yayin nesech. He'll pour it or use it for yayin nesech. Chalab, the Gemara will discuss and drop, actually, that it won't be problematic. Tosfos brings another opinion of the Rabbi Ephraim. Bar David, Ayomer, Atam Mishum, De'ite Elisura Be'ene. Over here, the Isur exists, is in full-fledged force over here. And therefore, we worry about it. Since the Basar, the Yayin, are the actual Isur and not a Tarovet, that's why you need a double seal. Tosfos rejects that in the end and says that he thinks of an Ein Nira the Rabbi Yehuda, and he thinks that Rashi is right, that the Perush of Rashi is right, is that the value of the item is so high that it's worth forging it. Therefore, you need a double seal. What's Champag? Chiltit, which we had in our Mishnah. Morius is the fish brine. Pat, bread, and gvina, and cheese. All of those are mutarim bechotem echad. So again, these items only require one chotem because either according to Rashi, they're cheap, they aren't so expensive. So that's why you don't worry about it. The chiltit is the pri that we just mentioned before, the fruit that absorbs the flavor from the knife. So all these items are, number one, not expensive. Number two is their tarovit, the problems of tarovit. They're not the actual isur. We're not worried about the wine itself. We're worried about something else getting mixed in with the item. So therefore, that's according to the Rabbi Ephraim, that's the problem over here, why they're sufficient b'chotem echad. Or to Rashi, they're cheap items, therefore they're mutar b'chotem echad. So Gemara says over here, pat, the mai nechishla. What do you have to worry about a pat? That you need a chotem on the pat. So now Rashi eliminates the girsa over here and says that this only belongs on Shmuel, which we'll see in a second, but does not belong on the statement of Rav. Tosfos says that it's not worth messing up the girsa, that you can even ask the question on Rav. If he's going to swap out the bread, if it's fresh bread versus older bread, or hot versus cold bread, which is the same, there we're going to know the difference. So he's going to swap out wheat bread with barley bread. If they're exactly the same, if you already have one chotem on it, lo torech umezayif. He's not going to go ahead and bother to forge the seal to swap out bread. Bread's not an item where it's worthwhile for him to forge the seal to swap it out. Rav, maishna gvina de lo torech umezayif. How come my cheese, he says chotem echad's enough? V'chalav nami lo torech umezayif. By milk, he says he needs a double seal. Doesn't make sense. Cheese, which takes more effort to make, you're going to say only needs one seal. And milk, that's much easier. It's going to need two seals on it. It's an inconsistency. So I'm Rav Kana, apik chalav, take out chalav from the list, v'ayel chatitchat dag, and put in fish. Shein basiman, a fish that has no siman on it, doesn't have its fins and scales on it. So Umar says, hainu basar, it's the same as flesh, the same as meat. Why is it any different? Umar says, trei kavnei basar. There's basar, which is meat, and there's basar, which is fish. So we have each one of them is independently, they require two seals on them. And now, Shmuel Amar, beet, asur bechotem echad. Beet is no good with echotem echad. So you see that he dropped the word, he dropped the chet, the chalav. Now he only has, right, the other three items, which are the basar, yayin, and tchilet. And then in champag, he drops that, he drops the pay, the pot in there. Machog, mutar bechotem echad, that's enough with echotem echad, pot's not there. Okay, basar yain tchilat asurim b'chotem echad, morius chiltit gvina mutarim b'chotem echad. The shmol chatichat dag, shein basiman, what he dropped out of there was the chet of chalav, which we exchanged for chatichat dag. Hainu basar, that's the same as basar, treikav nebasar lo amrinam, we don't say this thing that you need two types of meat. Fish, meat, it's all the same thing. Therefore, you need two chotamot, you don't need to mention them separately. Now, Rashi's girs over here has a girs about pot by Shmuel, pat, why does he not require any chotem over here? So he does not require chotem over here because of my nechishla. Right, there's nothing to worry about by pat. Since there's nothing to worry about by pat in the exchange, therefore we don't require any chotem. All right, Tan Rabbanan, ein lo kchim imach machag b'Suria. Not buy these six things in Syria. Rashi says the problem in Syria is that the chenvanim, the sellers, merchants in Syria were not nemanim. Now they were not nemanim in the sense that they would sell people non-kosher items or items from non-Jews because they didn't worry about lifnei iver lo titen michshol. They themselves would not consume these items, but they would sell them to other people. They didn't worry about lifnei iver lo titen michshol. Very similar to the kutim. We said that before, people that kept Torah Shebichtav, or didn't believe in the Rabbonon's interpretation of the Torah, therefore they didn't think of Lifnei Ver Lo Tzeh Mechshol as to cause somebody a problem, or to make them over an Aveira. Rather, it's just, you can't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. They took it literally. They themselves were not consuming Sur, but they had no problems giving it to other people. So these people in Suri have that same status like the Kutim. Therefore, you may not purchase from them these six items. Lo, what are they? Yayin, Morius, Chalav, Melach Sal Gundrit, which is also in our Mishnah, which we haven't discussed yet, we'll get to later in the daf today. Lo Chiltit, Lo Gvina, and not Chiltit again, which is the fruit that absorbs from the knife when it's cut. Lo Gvina, not cheeses. Ela Mina Mumche, someone who is an expert over here. Expert means someone who has a reputation to uphold. Since he has a reputation to uphold, he will not marana nafshei. He will not risk his reputation.
That for food,
right, exactly. For that particular item, he has a reputation, and it's not worth him risking his whole reputation to sell you something davar tamei or something that has it mixed in over there. You could also say mumche is someone we have a mesorah about, who has a, you know, badat sticker on him, whatever it is that gives him hechsher. That also could be the case. But I think mumche over here really means that a person whose reputation is worthwhile protecting. Chulam, initarech etzlel bayal bayit mutar. If you are at their house, staying by their bed and breakfast, you can eat with them. Because, again, they will not themselves eat problematic items. They will only sell them to you. So if they're consuming it, you know that you're okay, just like by the Kuti. Psaila Rabbi Shul ben Levi, Demar Shul ben Levi, Shagar lo, Shagar lo, Balabait, Beito Mutar. The Balabait sends a gift to his house, you're allowed to eat it. My time, huh? Balabait lo Shavik Hetera of Achali Sura. Balabait will not eat Isur when he has an opportunity to eat Heter. When you send it to his friend, he might also mishagale. He sends a portion of his meal, that which he's consuming, he sends as a gift. So since we know he will consume it, therefore if he sends it to you, it's okay. Because we know he will not consume by himself davar tamei, and what he sends to you, then also will not be a davar tamei. Alright, what is this melech salgondrit? So my melech salgondrit, I'm Rav Yehuda Mashmo, melech Melach, she'akol, melach, she'akol, sal kondri, romi, ochlim, ota. It's a type of salt that all the bakers of Rome eat it. So, Tan Rabbanan, melach, sal kondri, shchora, asuraf. It's black, it's asur. Levana, muteret. It's white, it's okay. Tivri, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda, on the other hand, believes, levana, asuraf. It's white, it's asur. Shchora, if it's black, it's mutar. Rabbi Huda, ben Gamliel, mishum, Rabbi Chanina, ben Gamliel, omer, zubazu, asura. It doesn't matter, it's white or black, it's asur. So I'm a rabbi, Rechana. What's the problem here? The one who says that white's problematic is because the innards of the fish are white. That's what they mix in there. That the innards of black fish, or the black innards of fish, are mixed in with it. That they mix in non-kosher fish innards, whether they're white or black, inside of this type of salt. That he used to wipe or baste the face of the salt with pig fat. Now this was an answer that we also had above of what the problem was with the pat akum. Also was that they basted it with a shuman chazir. Here a similar idea that they used to baste the salt with some sort of shuman chazir. So that cover, or that layer on the top, surface layer, is what causes problem, and therefore we can't consume the salt of Salkondrit, according to this opinion. Hareyu Asurim, at the end of the mission it says, these are Asur be'achila, and not in Asur be'ana, be'mutei'mai. What is that coming to exclude? So Gemara says, l'chizkiya, according to Chizkiya, it was at the beginning of the daf today, at the bottom of Lamed Chet Amud Bet, that's l'mutei bi'adua. It comes to exclude a case where you know for sure there's Isur. In the cases where it's a safek, you have Isur in there, it's mutar ba'ana, asur ba'achila. If you know for certain that there's wine in there that we saw before in Chizkiya, then it's asur legamrei, both in achila and hana, that's what the Mishnah at the end comes to exclude. Rabbi Yochanan, who says that even when it's yadua, it's only asur ba'achila, not asur ba'ana, comes lemutei morius ve'gvinat ben onyanki, comes to onyaki, that it comes to exclude the fish brine and the cheese from this place, that stomach Rabbi Meir. And stomach Rabbi Meir, who we saw in the previous Mishnah, was Oser, these places, was Oser them be Hana'ah. Not only Ba'achila, but Oser Ba'ana. So that's what it comes to Exclude. It comes to exclude these items because this Stam Mishnah is Stam Rabbi Meir. This Mishnah is Stam Rabbi Meir. Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir. And therefore, the Mishnah who's Rabbi Meir, Lemute, comes to exclude these two items that are also Asur Benan, not just Asur Be'achila. Yeah, it's, no, Morias is not from Onyanki. It's, they're two separate items, correct, according to Rabbi Meir. All right, now we have the third Mishnah. Now our Mishnah enumerates Velu Mutarim Bachila. First Mishnah, we had so far things that are Asur Bachila and Hana. Then we had things that are Asur Bachila and not Bana. Now we're going to have Elohim Mutarim Bachila. This is what's Mutar to buy from a goy. Chalav Shechalbo Ovdei Chochavim Yisrael Roeim. This is called, right, Chalav Yisrael. This is a non-Jew milking the cows as long as there's a Jew watching, overseeing the process. Hadvash, this is honey. That's what we saw before by Bishul Akum. There's no problem with Bishul Akum by honey. We'll see that in the Gemara. Because Dvash is Nechal Kushu Chai. It can be eaten when it's in the raw state. So therefore, there's no problem with Bishul Akum. What do you have to worry about over here? Adab Devniyot. Adab Devniyot is not like Duv Devan today. Right, with cherries, but rather Duv Devniyot are bunches of grapes. So bunches of grapes. Avu Pishu Natfim. Even though there's dripping liquid grape juice out of them. In by Mishum Echshem Mashkeh. They don't have a din of Hefshir Mashkeh, they don't have a din of a liquid. Since they don't have a din of a liquid, they are not a problematic if the goy picks them. Right. Pickles or pickling juices that they're in this area, they don't normally put wine into them. They don't put in wine or vinegar into it. Vitarit, which is like a pickled herring in a chufa, that is not chopped up. When it's not chopped up, we know what the fish is, we don't have to worry about it. Bitsir sheish badaga, fish brine that has the kilbit that is swimming around in it, because when they, on kilbit can only exist in fish brine that is from kosher fish. Va'alah shel chiltit, the leaf of the chiltit. If you cut the leaf of the chiltit, that's not a problem. The fruit has that pungency to it that causes the flavor exchange, but the leaf does not. V'zeite gluska ota mugugalim, the olives that were in the baskets, that they were put together in the baskets to soften up and get ready to be pressed. Those are okay. V'yosi omer ashlachim asurim, that we'll see this in the Gemara, what these are. He's going back on the Zaytim, but he's saying the Shlachim are Asurim. HaChagavim Abayim Meislula Asurim, the grasshoppers or locusts that you buy out of the baskets in front of the stores, Asurim. Minaheftek, if they're brought out of the Otsar, if they're brought out of the Otsar, the storehouse, Mutarim. There they are, Mutar, V'chein L'Chuma, and that's similar by Chuma. Now the grasshoppers, locusts in front of the stores, they sprinkled wine on them to make them smell better, to taste better. They used to sprinkle wine on them. So that sprinkling wine causes the problem, and that's why you can't buy them from the baskets in front of the store. When they're the storehouse, we don't worry about them sprinkling wine on this, and we've seen this before by other items, is that when you add wine, it has no shelf life. It ruins it. It's misoch sarich. So since it'll be ruined if you add wine to it, they do not add wine if it's coming out of the storehouse. So if they pull it straight out of the storehouse, you can buy it from them, you can drink it from them, because we don't worry about the adding of non-kosher wine to it. Right, we had that before by the shaman, that they don't add in the wine because it's misrach sari. It causes a problem for it. Tanina lahadatana rabbanon. We have a Mishnah that is similar to what they have learned in the bright or what the rabbanon learned. Yoshev Yisrael b'tzedek. A Jew could sit next to his flock, shovei kuchavim, v'ovei kuchavim cholev lo, and the non-Jew is milking away. Maybe lo brings it to him. Ve'no choshesh, doesn't have to worry about it. Hechi dami, what's the case? Either like a davar tamei bedro, if there's no non-kosher animal there, pshita, what's there to talk about? If there's a non-kosher animal bedro, amai, why is it kosher? Olam de ika davar tamei. It's a case where there is non-kosher animal there. Chikai chozile. When he stands up, he can see him. Chiyotiv lo chozile. But when he sits down, he can't see him, and he's sitting. So he's sitting now. You can't see what the guy is doing. If he stands up, he will see him, but he's sitting currently. So ba'ad u'teimah kevin diyotiv lo chozile nechush. Since when he's sitting down, he can't see him. We'll worry about cholav akum. Mar says, no, Dilma Maitu Maribe, maybe I'll come put in the Chalav Tameh. Kamashvalan, gave him the Chikai Chazile, Irtat Mirtat. Since when he stands up, he can see him, he has that fear factor. Flo Maribe, he won't do it. So as long as it's like a Yotze V'nichnas type of idea, that Mirtat, as long as there's a fear of being caught, the person will not do it. You don't have to literally be there all the time, you don't have to be watching him every second. But as long as when he knows that you could wake up your head at any second or look at him any second, that's enough to cause the fear factor that he will not mix in. Dover Tamei won't mix in any non-kosher milk into this milk that he's milking for you. Kamashlan, that ki chai kai chazile yirtat mirtat v'lo me'arbe. When he stands up, that fear factor causes that he will not mix it in. Va dvash, what about the honey? Dvash l'may nichushla. What's the problem by dvash? Imishu meiruve. If you're going to say that he mixed wine into the dvash, misra sorry, it causes it to go bad, has no shelf life, then it goes bad. Imishu b'shule ovde chachamim, what about b'shul akum? Nechol k'moshu chai. That's the thing, it can be eaten when it's chai. Imishum gule of the chamim, what are you going to worry about? It's got flavor. It's put in a pot that was cooked up or heated up in a pot of a non-Jew. No, the dam nefkamu umutar, general stam pots of a ovi chachamim are inam b'nei yoman. And since they're inam b'nei yoman, they're not in tam nefkam, the dam nefkam is mutar. So everybody can purchase the honey from the non-Jew and eat it without any problems. Hadab duniyot, these grape clusters, ava bishim natfot, even though they're dripping liquid, question that. A boat's in the gat, someone who picks grapes to bring to the press, if they're leaking, if there's liquid coming out of them, that liquid is makshir the kabo tuma, is makshir the grape now to be makabo tuma. It's not makshir the kabo tuma, he doesn't want the wine to come out. But odile hilo le shamai hotam, and later on, Hillel was admitted to Shammai that he was right, that the liquids coming out of the grape is makshir lekabel tumah because he wants it. Why? He's going to press these grapes anyway. His whole intent is to have the liquid come out. So if the liquid comes out in the beforehand in the basket or that what he's carrying, that's positive also because he'll capture that wine as well. So that's not a problem. That is makshir lekabel tumah. Where it says, Hotam kabayle in the mashke. The reason that is, that brayta that we're bringing, or that mishnah that we're bringing over there, is because there he's picking it specifically for its wine, for its grape juice. So since he wants the liquid, when the liquid comes out, that's the liquid that he wants, and it's makshu the kabel tuma. Over here, hachalo bayle the mashke. When you pick these items, these dubda b'niyot, you're picking them to eat the grapes. You're not picking them for squeezing them, you're picking them to eat them. If you're picking to eat them, the liquid that comes out is not nechale. You don't need the liquid outside, it's not even better for you. You want the liquid in the grape. So therefore, we don't have a problem of mukshir, makshir, the kabel tuma over here, and the liquid that comes out of them is not makshir, the kabel tuma. And it's not classified like wine or like a liquid, and if a goy touches it, it also will not be a problem. The tari chin a chufa, so we had these tarit that was not mixed up. Tarabanan, ezi tarit chena chufa. What's that case? Kol shirosh v'shidra nikar. Anything that you can see, the head of the fish and its spine and its back in there. Because a fish can be told apart by its head. Rashi says that tameim rashem chadim, that non-kosher fish have very narrow and pointy faces. They do not have a backbone. So kosher fish have flatter faces and have a backbone. Kilbut. This kilbit, as Rashi points out again, gadel me'alea, gadela me'alea, betzir dagim torim. This type of fish grows spontaneously in kosher fish brine. So that's the test. This is tzir she'eshbach daga. What's a tzir, a fish brine that has a fish in it? Kosher kilbit achad ushtei kilbiot, shotutot bo. As long as there's floating around either one or two kilbiot, then you're okay. Tumar says, kilbit achat amart shari, shtei kilbiot mibai. What do you need two? If one is enough, then why do you need to tell me about two? Tumar says, lokasha kan b'ptuchot, kan b'stumot. Depends if it's closed or open. So, chaviot ptuchot, open barrels of fish brine, it's not enough with one. You need to say two, because maybe it fell in from somewhere else, this fish. But if it's a case where it's a sealed barrel, then one is enough, because you know for certain that it was spontaneously generated inside that barrel, and it didn't come from anywhere else. So therefore, we don't have to worry about it. So here we go, ptuchot, require two, whereas stumot, one. Always, the Rabbeinu Ephraim, on the other hand, Tosu can say, explains the exact opposite of Rashi, that's ptuchot. If it's an open barrel, sagi b'chado, dikalameima achwite azlo de'alma, that there were two, and one of them left. And you don't have to worry about it. About stumot, you need two because it couldn't have gone anywhere else. So that's the machlokas between the Rabbi Ephraim and the Rashi about what it means, lokasha, honey ptuchot, or honey stumot, which one is the kula. So Rabbeinu Ephraim thinks that the kula is the ptuchot, and Rashi thinks that the kula is the stumot, that you only require the one by those that are closed barrels. Okay, we'll stop over here.